We're standing at the threshold of Westminster Abbey's great cloister. In fact, we're at a gate. For generations, a central feature of our common life here has been to welcome visitors. Our monastic ancestors on this holy site would have heard read in the chapter house from chapter 53 of the Rule of St. Benedict that guests are to be welcomed as if they were Christ himself. Years later, as a non-monastic church at the beginning of the 21st century, we still welcome a wide range of guests, in fact, perhaps wider than ever before. We greet those who come to worship, those who seek some peace and quiet or the inspiration of music, preaching, and liturgy, and a diverse international group of people from all over the world who come as tourists. We pray daily that all those who arrive here as visitors may leave as pilgrims. Like every Christian site, this place points beyond itself to the Good Shepherd who offers abundant life to those who seek him. From this spot, the visitor has a tantalizing glimpse of some of what awaits. A medieval cloister, a large grassy cloister garth, on the site of a medieval well, a beautiful fountain in its centre, dedicated in 2018 to mark the tercentenary of Capability Brown. These buildings were designed to offer a secure home to their community and a frame for the great church they surround. In today's Gospel, Jesus describes himself as the gate, the way into a trustworthy and abundant life of love. The gates of many buildings and complexes, ancient and modern, no matter how beautiful, were made, if we're honest, to keep people out. This gate, our risen Lord Jesus, however, is a gate through which to enter, a gate which stands open continually to welcome all those who come to him. Alan Titchmarsh, who gave a reflection when our Capability Brown Fountain was dedicated, reads for us from St. John's Gospel.
Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Although conversation has not always been easy in our isolation, there has still been a lot of talk in the last few weeks. There have been briefings and bulletins, reports and announcements, and it has all been interrogated in the media. We are very interested in what we're being told and how. We seek the truth. We favour facts and plain speaking. There's a time for straight talking, and this is it. Which means that when we turn to this Sunday's Gospel reading, we notice a change of gear. Here, there is a different kind of language. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." Now this is almost poetry. Here's an image, a gate to a sheepfold, and we're being told that this might be a bit like that. This is in fact a little parable. You've just heard Canon Hawkey explain what gates can be, what they can do. This sheepfold gate is different, distinctive. It might tell us something about Christ, help us to understand him better. We need to pay attention to this gate. To understand what's going on here, we need a little background. Jesus has just healed a blind man, and that has prompted a monumental row. His critics doubted that he had that kind of power. They refused to believe in him. Jesus has just suggested that they might be the ones who are truly blind. It's after that row that we hear about this gate and this sheepfold. Here, Jesus explains that even religious people, or perhaps especially religious people, can be wrong about faith. It's possible, he says, to speak about faith, but to do it inappropriately, to be the wrong person in the wrong place, to be a sort of bandit. Put simply, you can be so busy with winning a religious argument that you can leave holiness and grace bleeding at your feet. Religion too often becomes obsessed with a single issue, with a particular group of people, with a certain kind of morality, or with a particular sort of worship. Faith is none of these things. Faith is not an activity or a conviction or even a moral code with a lot of heavy black type. Faith is a life you must live. Faith is the business of being properly, fully alive, as Christ was alive. Faith is no more and no less than the life you find in Christ. If it's plain speaking you are after, then the gospel today plainly tells you that it is possible to fall in love with false religion. We can miss the point, be blind, never find the gate to the life we long for. True religion is an invitation to live life in its fullness. It's an invitation to live like Christ. But interestingly, this important point is not made by plain speaking. It's dressed in a parable. We have to think about it. We are meant to think about it. When St. Augustine wrote about these verses from St. John's Gospel, he said that Jesus did this quite deliberately. He gives us what is plain for food, what is obscure for exercise. St. Augustine thought that sometimes the Bible is a sort of gymnastics for the spirit. So here's a little spiritual exercise in lockdown. So this week I want to say that I'm all in favour of plain speaking, but not all the time. Not everywhere. The gospel today is rich, and there is more than one thing to say about it. We should be beware of bad religion. We must not be blinded by our certainties, because we might miss the gate. But perhaps we must also be beware of too much plain speaking. God is holy and mysterious, more than we can name and more than we can know. There is space for us to think and feel different things, to notice that it's a bit like this and a bit like that. There is time and need to try out different words. We tried to pin God down once on Calvary. In the Easter season, we really should know better. This may not, after all, be entirely the time for plain speaking. We might even resort to poetry. So here's a poem by the Persian poet Hafez, who lived in what we would call the Middle Ages. What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made such a fantastic move that the saint is now continually tripping over joy and bursting out in laughter and saying, "I surrender." Whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves.
Henry Purcell's O God, Thou Art My God was written in the early 1680s, shortly after he'd become organist here. He sets verses from Psalm 63. The psalmist thirsts for God. The psalmist declares God's own loving kindness as better than life itself, and concludes in Purcell's setting with rapturous hallelujahs, popularized for us today in the hymn tune known across the world as Westminster Abbey. It's sung by the Abbey Choir. Let us pray. O God, we pray that we may so know you and love you, that we may rejoice in you. And if we may not do so fully in this life, let us go steadily on to the day when we come to that fullness. Let the knowledge of you increase in us here, and there let it come to its fullness. Let your love grow in us here, and there let it be fulfilled, so that here our joy may be in a great hope, and there a full reality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Standing together in the light of Easter, as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we pray now for God's blessing, so we commend to his protection the sick, the sorrowing, and the fearful, along with all those who keep us safe and make us well. God, who through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory, give you joy and peace in your faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.